有一些人呢比我读更多关于副教授的书。
Some of you might have read more on apologetics than I have.
我从内心的深处说，我实实在在是从我得救以后很想解清楚为什么我们的信仰是正确的。
But from the depth of my heart, I can tell you that since I was saved, I really want to know why my belief is reasonable.
而且呢，这个神给我的机会相当的多。
God has given me much opportunity.
我也比你们更多机会收到那些对基督教信仰的挑战或者对基督教信仰质疑的这一类的问题。
And I have received more than you have questions challenging the Christian faith.
我只能说以我很有限的能力去处理一些关于这一类的事。
With my very limited ability, I have tried to deal with these matters.
副教是宣教一个不能分开的责任之一。
Apologetic is a task that cannot be separated from evangelism.
那么副教的责任是不是只是在消极的一方面呢？
But is the defense of the faith merely a passive negative thing?
副教的本身是不是也在积极的宣教方面产生很大的作用？
Isn't defending the faith creating an effect positively for the evangelism?
我个人认为这两方面不能分开。
These cannot be separated.
圣经告诉我们，我们要对那些人呢，用这个冷静的，或者我们用这个说出信仰的缘由呢，我们很冷静的把我们信仰、我们盼望的原因要讲出来。
The Bible tells us to calmly, gently tell other people the hope that is in us.
另一方面，圣经又告诉我们，我们要攻破仇敌的营垒。
The Bible also tells us to destroy the enemy's barracks.
所以呢，为这个缘故，副教授的本身就包含了这个消极的、同积极的两方面的这个功用。
So the apologetics has a negative and a positive function.
如果基督徒只一天到晚解释说我这样信是没有错的，那么这种消极的行动呢，就不能使我们很积极的做见证。
We cannot have a positive testimony merely by negatively saying that my belief is adequate.
所以我们应当有一个 aggressive spirit， 把这个副教的积极的作用和宣教的工作配合起来。
So we need with an aggressive spirit to integrate both apologetics and evangelism.
以至于呢，我们可以在那些对基督教的信仰有兴趣的，或者有这个追求的，或者有质疑的人，以很真实的态度把我们的信仰的力量表达出来。
Thus we, with a positive attitude, we can express the Christian faith to those who are interested in it, those who are seeking after, and those who have doubts about it.
我们越是有这样的经验，在我们的这个信仰正确成为我们人生一部分以前呢，我们曾经对基督教有许许多多错误的或者许许多多挑剔性那种怀疑在我们里面。
Before the correct Christian faith became a part of our lives, we have all kinds of misconceptions or wrong ideas in us.
那么后来经过某一些的解释或者某一些道理对我们心灵的释放功用呢，后来我们就产生了对这些信仰能接受的一个新的态度。
Then weAcquired an attitude which enabled us to receive the word after the word has enlightened us.
那么这一方面的工作呢，都是副教的工作所起的作用。
These are all the effects which are created by apologetics.
这一方面的书呢，特别在东方呢比较少。
These books are lacking specifically in the Orient.
但这一方面很需要的。
But this is a great need.
信仰从信仰的表达是两件不同的事情。
Faith is different.From the expression of faith.
你信了以后，你用言语把你所信的表达出来，你就发现了在你信同你的表达中间常常有很大的距离。
After you believe, you seek to express your faith verbally, you will find there's a discrepancy there.
一个人经历在大海中间狂风大浪的那个可怕的心情，从他呢看一本描写大海的情形呢，是很不同的两件事。
Person who tremble in the midst of a storm in the sea has a totally different feeling from somebody who reads about it in the book.
一些想象力比较强的人，甚至可以没有到过非洲写泰山这一类的故事。
Some people with great imagination can write about Tarzan who have never been to Africa.
那个原先写泰山那本书的人，自己没有到过非洲。
Original author of the book on Tarzan has never been to Africa.
那些到过非洲的人，写不出什么山出来。
And those who have been in Africa couldn't write anything about it.
所以是不是有一些人信仰是一个很亲身、很切身的一个经历，但是当他讲的时候讲不出来。
Some people have a genuine personal experience of faith, but they cannot express it verbally.
相反的，有一些人听了许多关于梨的问题，却不能把梨化成他道里面的信。
But some people have heard a lot and they know a lot about the word, yet it cannot become part of it.
所以这方面我就想到还有两件事要配合起来。
So then there are two more things which need to be integrated.
第一样事情就是呢，对于副教授的知识，从副教的临床试验。
It is the knowledge of apologetics and personal experience about the apology.
今天整个神学界或者教会工作界呢，对于某一种知识的研究呢，不一定化成实际的行动，是一件很遗憾的事情。
It is greatly regrettable that in the fields of theology and theological education,apologetics has not always been integrated into practical things.
相反的，有一些人在副教的这个正线中间呢，他们呢却没有这一方面的知识。
Yet there are those people who are engaged in apologetics yet lacking such knowledge.
或者用更具体的思想、更具体的言语来表达呢，许多念了高深神学的人没有真正面对文化的这一个冲击，受到考验的人对基督教的认识，做一些真正的这个工作。
To put it more concretely, those that received much theological education has not faced the cultural challenges and made an adequate response to it.
那些呢站在基督教最前线与文化交锋的许多学生呢，却是手无寸铁，不知怎么应付。
Yet those who are staying at the forefront of Christianity encounter with culture, the students don't know what to do.
所以呢，有关于副教学，我们不单是感到这门学问需要。这门学问上这个工作应当怎么样配合，应当成了我们的负担。
So we not only should see the need for apologetics, this should become our burden.
把信仰完全归纳到知识的范围里面呢，是一件不大对的事情。
It is not entirely correct to make faith purely a matter of knowledge.
我们谈论神一大堆，而没有把神的本性在我们生命中间表现出来，我们的力量就不大。
We speak a lot aboutGod, yet if he does not become part of our lives, there's not much power in it.
我们提到我们基督的信仰的合理性，而那个基督教信仰的价值也应当化成我们生活的力量。
If we speak of the reasonableness of the Christian faith, then the value of the Christian faith must also become part of our lives.
我们把神当着知识的一部分来讨论的时候，
When we make God a part of our knowledge in our discussion,
我们绝对不能忘记我们的意识的深处要知道，我们正讨论的神现在正在控制我们整个人，也正在赐福我们所讲关于他的事情。
We must at the same time know, be aware that this God is in control and is blessing our work.
这样信从知就变成一个合一的一件事情了。
So then faith and knowledge becomes integrated into one.
副教这个字呢，原先就是为了那些做申辩的人而用的。这副教这个字 apologetic 是做一种这个在好像被控诉的时候我们做申辩而用。
The word apologetic means a matter of defense against the accusers.
换一句话说，基督徒所信的是成为我们生命里面最重要的一部分，但是那些反对我们信仰或者不了解我们信仰的时候，给基督徒许多的攻击从挑剔的时候，我们就要为所信的做申辩。
Faith is the most personal part of a Christian life, yet when our faith is challenged by other people, then we must make a defense.
那么当文化从基督教的信仰产生冲突的时候，
when culture comes into conflict with a Christian faith,
当人的思想与我们信仰中间的思想有相悖的那个情形产生的时候，
when man's thought is up against the Christian's thought,
我们怎样处理？
How do we deal with it?
有许多时候别人谈我们谈的不一样，我们马上就说这个人是硬心，大概没有被预定得救。
Sometimes when we talk to somebody and he doesn't agree with what we say, well, he's probably not predestined to be saved.
那我们就谈到他是教会的仇敌，那这个是活在世界上不如不生在世界上更好。
So this person is an enemy of the church and it may be better if he were not.
那么当这些人不是在教会里面，不是在教会外面，而是在教会里面的时候，
If these people are not outside the church but rather in it,
青年人呢就用许多的怀疑的话语呢，把他信仰不能了解的很坦白的讲出来了。
So young people use a very candid language to express all their doubtful thoughts.
那么这些呢，做教会领袖的人呢，有些人能答，有些不能答。
Those who are church leaders, some of them can answer the many questions, some can't.
那遇到不能答而装作能答的时候，就变成了为真理说谎。
If those people who cannot answer yet they act as if they could answer, then they're lying for the truth.
那些不诚实承认自己有限的人，就强作以为自己懂来处理这真理的问题，会不会建立信心？不会，会破坏信心。
Those who don't know what they're talking about yet they act as if they know, can they really establish other people's faith?
还有一些人就用很狭窄的这个绝对化自我的那种假树林的观念。
Some people have a very narrow self-centeredness and a pseudo.
就说呢，你们这些人是刚硬着心，魔鬼在你心里，应该信，不要多讲话。
So people say that you people are hard hearts, that Satan's working in you, you should believe and not talk.
不信的鬼在你里面。
The devil, the demon of unbelief is in you.
所以撒旦出去。
So Satan be gone.
结果那个青年看来看去看不到撒旦。
But the young people looking up couldn't find the devil.
后来他自己出去。
So he was gone.
结果教会呢就没有青年了，因为青年都是鬼。
So the church has no young people because all the young people are demons.
就剩下不是神仙不是天使那些树林长辈在教会里面。
So what's left are those old people who are neither fairies nor angels.
所以教会里面就很多又年老又成熟的人。
So therefore the church is left with old, mature people.
那么这些真正追求真理的人
And those who honestly seek out the truth,
他们要从哪里去找到答案
Where can they find the answer?
这个是变得很重要的问题。
This is a very important question.
所以有许多的青年人当他们发现呢基督教的信仰从他们理性产生冲突的时候他们很难找到适当的解释
So young people can they cannot find the answers when they see a conflict between the faith and their thoughts
这个冲突到底是实在的吗
Is this a real conflict?
这个冲突是需要的吗
Is this conflict necessary?
这个冲突是不是有一个统一的东西可以把它调和呢
Is there a unifying factor which can resolve this conflict?
这个很重要的事情
Very important question
那么我们看见了神的道如果与世界的文化是完全相调和的是不是可能
Question is, is it possible for God's word to be totally in harmony with the culture of the world?
我们的答案是不可能
Our answer is no
不可能
It's not possible
为什么呢
Why?
因为人的文化是人堕落以后是那个最完全的理想所这个形成出来的一种思想形态
Because man's cultureIs something that he thought up after he had fallen and he tried to project his ideal.
那么这个呢，对于这个完全理想的这个向往所产生出来这一套的东西呢，就影响了他整个的生活，从整个的这个行为。
That which he produced as he projected his perfect ideal had an effect, total effect on his life.
那么把这一个呢，当作绝对化的时候。
And when he absolutizes this,
就会产生了对神的道和自己所文化里面的那最精髓的东西相对的时候，有抗拒的自然的作用。
So the essence of the culture often comes into conflict with God's word.
所以文化越高的民族
，That's why in peoples where the cultures are more developed,
很可能的对圣道的拒绝的力量也就越大。
Very possible there is a high resistance to the word of truth.
但是这不能应该成为我们这个消极从这个悲观的因素。
But these must not keep us passive or negative.
因为在许多文化高超的地带里面，如果他们能够沟通到那个神的道和文化之间的关系，神的道对文化的启发作用，可能他们会建成很好很好的基督徒。
Because in areas where culture develops, if people can integrate God's word with the culture, then God's word should have a greater effect on the culture.
所以我们应当有一个很乐观、很积极的精神来做这个布教的工作。
We must have an optimistic and realistic attitude.
人如果我们讲的都符合的话
If we can say things that can be harmonized with everything,
每一个人都赞成我们讲的每一句话的话
and if everybody agrees with everything we say,
教会一定充满许多许多的会友，这些会友名字相同，叫做奴才。
The church should have lots of people with the same name, that is fools.
如果呢，奴才 slaves, 那富也好。那如果有一些人反对我们的话
attack us and disagree,
我们就应当把我们爱别人的那个本性表达出来
We need to express that nature of loving other people
因为这个爱与我们不同的人的这个表达本身是副教的一个力量的 demonstration
Because it is a demonstration of the dynamic of apologetics as we express that power of loving others
你现在找一个人谈的话如果找一个完全相同的就不必传福音给他因为已经相同了吗
Because if you grab somebody and talk to him and he agrees with everything you say you need to defend your faith if he already is a believer
但如果找一个人谈的话完全反对你感到传福音工作很难我告诉你可能他以后就是保罗
If you find somebody who you have a very hard time talking to he disagrees with what you say maybe he's going to
turn 所以我们需要很冷静
So we must be cool.
很稳重
We must be stable.
很灵巧
We must know what to do.
很有盼望
And have much hope.
那么怎么才能达到这样呢
How can we reach this state?
就有一些呢这个重要的因素我们要去注意的
There are some important factors we must take into consideration.
神的道与文化之间的关系是怎么样的
What is the relationship between God's word and culture?
那有关于这样这一方面呢这个 Richard Niebuhr 写一本书叫做基督与文化
There's a book written by Richard Niebuhr called Christ and Culture.
基督的这个基督到底是与文化相对的吗
Is Christ against culture?
或者基督是与文化相符合的吗？
Does Christ complement culture?
基督是不是主属于文化的？
Is Christ above and under culture?
啊，基督是不是超越文化的？
Is Christ over and against culture?
那我的看法是，基督呢是超越文化，启发文化，而且可以能够这个带领每一个文化。
Christ, in my view, transcends every culture, can have its dynamic self in every culture, and lead every culture.
以赛亚书说呢，我的道高过你们的道路，我的意念高过你们的意念，神的话语。
The Bible says in Isaiah, my ways are higher than your ways, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts.、
很多青年人后来读神学的时候，就认为这一句就是表示他不应当做工程师，他要读神学，因为上帝的道路高过他的道路。
Some people quote this verse in defense of going to seminary because he should not be an engineer but rather go in the seminary.
上帝的意念高过他的意念。
God's mind is higher than his mind.
我个人把这两个字呢，用这个角度来描写。
But I'd like to talk about these terms from different angles.
这里是提到了关于道路同意念的问题。
We're speaking about ways and thoughts.
所以呢，就是 way of life and the concept in ideology. 所以这个是关系到的思想形态同这个生活伦理的问题。
These have to do with our lifestyles and our thought patterns.
而这个两个呢，整个加起来也就是等于文化。
These two together constitute culture.
所以神的道路、神的意念，换句话说，神心里所思想的、神的这个启示的道理，是超过人类所能产生的任何文化。
God's way, God's thought, in other words, God's thought and is over and transcends.
问题是我们知道神的道是超过文化的，这个怎么超发的，怎么讲出那个超呢，这是很难的事情了。
We know that God transcends culture, but how exactly transcends culture, you're just how to express it.
比如说呢，在中国文化里面，
For example, in Chinese culture,
中国人认为呢，中国的文化是很高超的。
Chinese people feel that their own culture is very high.
那么有一些人看不出圣经到底有什么比中国文化更高明的地方。
Some people cannot see how the Bible is higher than Chinese culture.
那我们怎么样呼叫，这个是不容易的事情。这一方面我要这个请一些对中国文化特别研究的这个爱主的基督徒出来做一些事情，我个人不够资格。
I'm not qualified. I'd like to ask people who in the Lord who knows more about Chinese culture to come up and take up the stand.
我大部分的时间不是这个或在中国人的范围中间。
For the most of my life, I do not live among Chinese people.
这个第二方面呢，比如说呢，在 Stoa 时期 Stoicism 的时代，
For example, during the age of Stoicism,
他们呢赞成呢废除奴隶的制度。
They were in favor of the abolition of slavery.
而基督教呢却提到关于主人对奴仆怎么样，仆人对主人怎么样，所以表现的主奴的制度在基督教里面文化还有的。
Yet biblical writers talk about how masters should treat their slaves and how slaves should treat their matters so that the slavery system still exists in the Bible.
所以在他们的观念里面很难看出基督教是超越他们的文化。
So the Stoics have a hard time seeing how the Bible can transcend their
culture. 所以这样呢，怎样解释，怎样把那个真正的意义表达出来，这也变成一个很重大的责任。
How do you express and how do you really express the real meaning is very difficult and yet a great challenge.
所以副教的工作应当为宣教的工作做预备一种积极的工作的作用。
Apologetics should have a positive yet preparatory function for evangelism.
那我们现在稍微提到关于副教的一些重要的事情。
Now we must talk about several important things like apologetics.
在这个基督教的初期，
During the early days of Christianity,
耶稣基督的显现，
The manifestation of Jesus.
耶稣基督到这个世界上来，
Jesus came to this earth.
乃是一个神的启示的最高峰。
This was the climax of God's revelation.
根据天理的话语，这个基督是终结一切宗教的启示。
Christ is the ultimate revelation that ends all religious revelation.
我再讲一次，基督是终结一切宗教的一个启示。
Christ is the revelation which consummates our religion.
那么根据利昌尼布的看法，
According to Richard Niebuhr,
整个法利赛人从犹太文化对基督的反击，乃是因为他们内心里面已经深深觉悟到基督是将要摧毁他们文化的一个最大的一个威胁。
Pharisees and the Jews opposed Jesus because they felt that Jesus posed a threat to destroy the culture.
所以当耶稣基督在世界上的时候，
So when Jesus crosses on this earth,
他的存在已经成为一种文化的威胁。
His very existence became a threat to culture.
而这个文化正是那个昼夜祷告祈求盼望上帝赐下基督的文化。
And this culture is precisely that culture which pray day and night waiting for the Messiah to come. 所以
这种热心没有正方向的支持的结果，就会把自己所理想所盼望的把它钉在十字架上。
So this kind of faith which lacks knowledge ended up crucifying its Lord in the cross.
那是主啊，基督来吧，基督来吧，一来到你敢来，我钉你十字架。
Lord, Lord, may the Messiah come and the Messiah came, they crucified him.
那就是复兴啊，复兴来，复兴来到，他先跑掉，因为代价太大。
And those who pray for revival, they left first when revival came because the cost is too great.
所以教会里面那些很追求的人，有时候我有点怕。
I'm a little concerned about those people who seek after truth.、Right?
因为有时候他们呢就顾不继续不断告诉人家，我是很追求，我是很追求，追求什么？以后再告诉你，我是很追求。
They would say, you know, I desire to learn very much, but what is it that I desire?
那么在这个时期里面呢？
So during this time,
这个门徒们做的工作就是基督复活的见证。
In this period, the apostles witnessed to Christ's resurrection.
耶稣基督的复活
，Jesus Christ's resurrection,
成为整个基督教那个信仰的中心。
Became the center, the focus of the Christian faith.
因为如果基督没有复活，他们所信的都是徒然的。
Because if Christ did not rise from the dead, all that we believe is in vain.
这样呢，那个积极性的信仰呢，就以基督复活的历史事实做一个很重要的基础。
So this aggressive faith made a foundation for the historical fact.
耶稣基督的复活
，Christ's resurrection，
也是当时的人呢很难接受的一件事情。
It's something that is very difficult for the contemporary people at that time to accept.
所以呢，当保罗在这个亚六八谷，就是那个众神之山上的提到耶稣基督的复活，是成为上帝将来借着他审判。万人的这个根据的时候，那些人就以低效同力气他做结束。
That is why when Paul stood martial and proclaimed that the Christ resurrection is the best assurance of God's future judgment, they jeered at him.
而当保罗在他的书信里面提到有一些人不相信复活的事情，或者说复活是已过的时候，也证明那个时候呢，在这个思想上对基督的复活不能接受的一个很普遍的现象。
When Paul wrote in his epistles about those people who did not believe in the resurrection or believe that the resurrection was past, this is a clear indication of very strong resistance to the Christian faith.
那么，基督的复活呢，在教会里面所产生的作用，就使基督徒呢，他们虽然理性上、虽然知识上很难应付许多的仇敌，但是他们呢，基督的复活从他们的关系，使他们很有力量的来继续不断发展宣教的工作。
Christ's resurrection became a great dynamic for the Christian as they seek to witness to the truth.
那结果引起的就是对基督徒的发展无情的逼迫，所以呢，就到了一个逼迫的时代。
What it caused was much persecution, so Christianity ended a period of persecution.
当基督徒受逼迫的时候呢
？But when Christians were persecuted,
是不是所有的人都赞同那些逼迫者呢？
Was everybody in agreement with the persecutors?
不是的。
No.
有一些人要很冷静、很公正的，以非基督徒的身份来站在人道的立场来看基督徒受逼迫为什么有这么大的坚韧的力量。
Some people stood in a calm, objective stand from the point of view of humanitarianism, and they wanted to see why Christians could be patient and stand in the face of persecution.
逼迫人需要很大的力量。
It takes much strength to persecute other people.
但是能够抵挡逼迫而不倒，这那力量更大的。
But it takes a greater strength to withstand persecution.
所以那一种力量的本身呢，就变成一种吸引人注意基督教的这个立足点到底是从哪里来的力量，一个很大的吸引力。
So this strength of resisting persecution became a great attraction to those who are outside of the faith.
所以你要为有逼迫感谢主。
So you must thank God for persecution.
你也要为有仇敌感谢主。
You must thank God for your enemies.
所以呢，我们不必为没有逼迫求告主，快快把逼迫来到。
We don't have to pray for God if we don't have persecution that persecution may come.
但是如果神许可的每一次逼迫都带来祝福。
But if God allows,
对不对？
Every persecution will bring blessing.
所以在印尼我们看得很清楚。
Isn't that right? In Indonesia, we can see it very clearly.
有一些地方呢，基督徒埋了地不能建礼拜堂，有一些建了礼拜堂，他们要烧掉它。这些行动一来的时候，那些呢？不太走回教路线，也不是基督徒的人，结果他们良心甚至告诉他们要选基督教。
In Indonesia, when Christians bought a land but could keep the land but could not build a church, they built a church but they burned it down. Then when resistance came, people who didn't make up their mind, then their conscience rebuked them and they accepted the faith.
真的花呢，你把它揉，你把它压，它的香味就更出来了。
You can wring and suppress the truth, yet its fragrance will come out.
真的花。
Oh, the real flower, that's right. If you
基督徒生命也是如此。那么在这个时期中间就有一些的学者他们出来替基督教辩护。其中有一些呢各自己已经经历了基督的道的这个对他们生命的改变作用，或者他们曾经有过重生的经验。
Some of them have experienced the transforming power of Christ, that is, they have been born again.
这些人呢，从这个教会里面来看，不是正统受训练的神学家。
From within the church, these are not orthodox theologians who were educated.
对，他们却做了一些比教会里面领袖更好的工作。
But yet they did something which was better than the things that the church leaders have done.
就有一些人在这个行列里面
and among the ranks of these people.
像这个 Justin the Martyrs。
Were people like Justin Martyr?
啊，还有这个像 Athenagoras。
Athenagoras
甚至曾经写过书信呢，到罗马皇帝那里去，叫他呢要按公正来处理这些事情。
He has written to the Roman Emperor, pleading with him that he use justice to judge things.
那在这个时期里面呢，这个副教的工作是什么呢
？What is the task of apologetic during this period?
要辟谣，就是要化除那些这个对基督教无情攻击中诽谤的话语。
It is to neutralize or to weaken the aggressive attack against the
Christians. 有一些人说的基督徒是杀孩子来吃的。
Some people say that Christianity killed babies for food.
基督徒是这个完全无道的，专门说谎欺骗人的。
Some people say that Christianity is immoral, it specializes in cheating people.
基督徒是这个反对整个文化，或者是像这个凯撒不忠的人。
They were liars and they would not be loyal to Caesar. They were against the whole culture.
用这样的办法来达到消灭基督教的目的。
And they spread such rumors in order to destroy Christianity.
所以社会上的公正的城市人就出来挺身而出为基督徒讲话。
So those who stood for justice in society stood up and speak for Christianity.
那么外面的攻击产生了副教的作用。
So outward persecution generated a apologetic.
但是在教会里面产生出来对基督教的错误的认识也刺激了一些人来为正统的信仰做副教的作用。
Also, erroneous teaching from within the church also caused people to stand up for the truth.
教会呢里面有一些呢这个错误的观念。
There were erroneous conceptions within the church.
那么这些的错误的观念常常是同那个外邦的文化有关系，以外邦文化的知识论的前提来解释圣经。
And these erroneous conceptions always have something to do with the culture outside in the world, and specifically their epistemological presuppositions as far as their interpretation of the Bible.
在一些教会里面有地位的人，如果有错误的异端思想来影响整个教会的时候，教会是不是前途的路线就没有一定的方向了？
Isn't it true that when church leaders use erroneous methods to explain the faith, then the church has lost its direction?
所以神就兴起了一些的人出来，很勇敢的为正统的信仰真理做卫道的战士。
So God raised up some people to be warriors to defend orthodox truth.
那么这个呢，就在某一个时期里面特别兴起很多这样的人。
So in a particular period, many of these people were raised up.
我个人认为每一个时代里面最大的基督教人物不是布道家，不是那个给大家看的时候很大场面的领导人，而是在幕后装备基督徒正统思想有真正武器的那一些 真理的勇士。
The greatest believers in every generation, I feel, are not evangelists, but those who equip the saints so that they can fight the good battle in defense of the truth.
每一个布道家，他布道的信息的背后一定有一套正统的神学思想，才能给他产生大的力量。
Every evangelist can be powerful only if he has behind him and within him a body of orthodox beliefs.
那个正统的思想的这复位工作，在每一个时代里面都是占着最重要的地位，虽然我们看不大清楚。
So the defense of orthodox thought.Always the very important function in every generation, even though we don't see it.
那么那个时代最大的勇士，像 Athanasius, 像这个 Augustine 这些人。
People in those people who were important were people like Athanasius and Augustine.
有接下来呢，就到了一个回教的时期。
Then we came to a period of Islam.
这回教兴起，一直到这个中古经验哲学 Scholasticism。兴起来的时候，那大概几百年呢，正是基督教没有什么伟大思想的思想家出现的一个黑暗时期。
It is a dark period in Christian thought when Islam emerged and Scholasticism was involved.
那伊斯兰这个回教兴起是在奥古斯丁以后。
Islam emerged after the period of Augustine.
在 Neoplatonism 以后。
It came after the period of Neoplatonism.
那么也是在这个 Anselm 以前。
It is before the time of Anselm.
这期间呢，也有一两个比较重要的人物。
There were one or two important figures during this period.
但是在整个思想和信仰方面的复位工作呢，没有多大的作用。
But they did not have much effect in terms of defense of faith.
那个时候重要的辩论都已经过去了。
The important debates were over by then.
这个基督论、
Christology、
三一论、
Trinity，
这些重要的辩论都已经过去了。
The debate on these important doctrines
have
been over. Only those people were discussing only very minor details.
关于意识的问题。
In terms of art.
意识这个。
Consciousness.
不是，关于这个意识的问题。教会的。
In terms of ritual in the church.
Ritual. 关于这个圣餐的这个还有圣礼的问题。
In terms of the sacraments and communion.
关于天使，关于圣像这些问题。
In terms of angels and icons and so on.
所以那些不是太重要的问题。
So those are the most important questions.
那么这个回教兴起以后呢？
But after Islam was raised up.
无形中就兴起一个对基督教呢完全不同的，不是从理性的，从信仰而来一个很大很大的一个威胁。
A great threat was posed not in the realm of knowledge, but in the realm of faith.
我们应当承认，全世界历史中间最少的天才是宗教天才。
We must admit that the most rare genius is religious genius in world history.
宗教天才是少而又少。
There are very, very few geniuses who are religious geniuses.
宗教观念是超乎所有观念之上的观念，也基本于所有观念更底层的基本观念。
Religious conceptions are above and transcend all the conceptions, yet they lay at the very bottom and undergird all other conceptions.
宗教所供的是人性最深的一部分，宗教所包的是人性完全的部分。
Religion gets at the deepest of human consciousness, yet it encompasses all of human life.
那么宗教天才是少而又少的。
So religious genius are really rare.
我们应当说 Muhammad 是最大的宗教天才之一。
Muhammad is one of the rarest, greatest religious geniuses.
他不但在当代可以影响千万人，在几百年里面几千年里面都能够有影响的作用。
Not only did he have a great impact upon thousand people during his time, but upon millions after his time throughout all generations.
所以这样的这个对的信仰到底怎么样证明出来，就变成另外一种的这个副教的范围了。
So it became, there was another area of apologetics, how to establish correct faith in faith of Islam.
怎么样把基督教的这个对性，基督教的绝对性在众宗教之上表达出来，这个就变成一个与过去不大相同的学问。
How to establish the uniqueness and absoluteness of the Christian faith became a new problem.
基督教在欧洲这个与其他的文化相抗衡的时候，
whenChristianity came into encounter and conflict with European culture.
可以说呢，没有任何一个欧洲原有的宗教能和基督教相比上下。
There was no other religion in Europe which could compare with Christianity.
因为欧洲的本身呢，不能产生伟大的宗教。
Because Europe did not produce a great religion.
从来没有的。
Never did.
伟大的宗教都是在亚洲产生的，所以亚洲人不要自卑感。
Great religions always came from Asia, so Asians should not have an inferiority complex.
亚洲是宗教之州。
Asia is a continent of religions.
这个是亚洲人是这个走道路的。
Asians are people of the way.
而欧洲人是求真理的。
Europeans are people after the truth.
耶稣对公对我就是道路，就是真理，我就是生命，你两个都没
有。That's why Jesus said, I'm the way and the truth and I'm the life. Jesus spoke to both east and west and to everyone.
那个三句话再把它好好的分析了一个钟头谈不完。
You really analyze
history. 神的道是很奇妙的。
God's word is wonderful.
那么欧洲人就因为他们的宗教不能满足于他们。
Europeans were not satisfied by the religion.
所以他们早就呢走着苏格拉底所提出来的一个问题，就是神的对性的问题，而厌弃或者放弃他们那个希腊从这个罗马的宗教神话系统。
So that is why they for a long time already gave up the Greco-Roman system of thought.And they follow Socrates.
在众神之上有诸神。
Above all gods, there is one God.
虽然苏格拉底提过这件事呢，但是从来没有给他们一个信仰的系统。
Even though Socrates mentioned this idea, yet he never gave them a system of thought.
所以犹太商人到处做生意、建立会堂的时候，就弥补了这一方面的空缺。
That is why when Jewish merchants immigrated and established synagogues all over the place, they filled a void.
许多人就在犹太教里面找到有这样对的神，要有先知的这个预言，还有许多这个很好的这个归条。
They found in Judaism a unique God, word of the prophets, and good rituals.
那么那些人呢，在圣经一个特别的名称来描写他们，敬虔人。
Bible there's a name for these people. The Bible calls them God fearers.
啊，这些呢，外邦人呢，他们敬畏上帝，做敬虔人，像哥尼流这一类人是敬虔人，那就是指那些希利尼人不满意希利尼文化的宗教，回犹太教里面的。
The people like Cornelius who feared God were people who were not satisfied with the Roman culture.
但是，回教兴起的时候呢
，When Islam arose,
他也是讲独一的上帝。
It also spoke of a unique God.
基督教讲亚伯拉罕的上帝，他也讲亚伯拉罕的上帝。
But then we spoke of God of Abraham. It also spoke of God of Abraham.
所以此地是否那地？
Which one is the right one?
哪一个是真的？
Which is
the right one? 所以呢，这个就变成了这个宗教的这个副教授了。
That became a religion.
那么当马可波罗有了中西文化再交流
，When Marco Polo brought East and West together,
欧洲人就开始注意到东方还有一些的宗教。
European noticed that there were other religions in Asia.
所以对宗教的绝对性，哪一个宗教是绝对的？这个呢，又变成一个新的思想。
And so another new idea came up, which is the absolute or which is the unique religion.
那这个当然后来会产生两个不同的极端。
There were two extremes that resulted.
第一个就是持守基督教绝对性的那一个副教工作。
First of all, it was apologetics, which held on the uniqueness of Christianity.
第二个就是放弃基督教的绝对性，而透泄于相对，满足于其他宗教，要产生这个综合论的那一种趋向。
Secondly, were those people who compromised became relativistic and wanted to synthesize other religions.
到了第十一世纪的时候呢
When it was about the 11th century,
到第十二世纪的时候
about the 12th century,
有一些的回教学者呢，就在巴黎大学里面起一些相当大的作用。
Some Muslim scholars became very influential at the Sorbonne.
他们把这个书阿里士多德的著作从阿拉伯文翻译回这个欧洲的文字。
Some of them translated Aristotle's writings from Arabic back to European languages.
阿里士多德当然不用阿拉伯文写书的。
Of course, Aristotle never wrote in Arabic.
那么阿拉伯文怎么有阿里士多德的著作呢
？How come there were Aristotle's writings in Arabic?
那是因为呢，亚历山大的时代呢，曾经东征西讨。
It was because when Alexander the Great was conquering the East, he went east.
以后呢，这个西方从东方的文化有过交流。
There was an encounter between East and Western cultures.
那么到了 Aquinas 的时代
，When we came to the time of Aquinas,
他要从头找到原来著作来翻译呢，才不会失去正义。
He wanted to find the original manuscript so he could translate it with accuracy.
那个时候开始呢 ，Aquinas 就这个产生了一套新的副教的工作。
So Aquinas began a new set of the apologetics.
那么那一个整个的副教的工作，可以说呢是先用自然神学注意了解真理的这个前提来做出发点。
Aquinas used natural theology as a point of departure for his defense of the faith.
他认为可以来了解真理，这个是做他的出发点。那么他就把阿里士多德呢当作是认识真理的这个逻辑方式。
He says one can know the truth is possible, so he used Aristotle as a standard for knowing truth.
我们现在看的是有一点不幸，我不知道你赞同吗？不幸的事情 ，unfortunate.
We feel that it's unfortunate.
你赞成吗？他不是赞成，他赞成这个道理。那为什么呢？因为这样呢，就变成有一个勉强的结婚。
Because there was a sort of a forced marriage between two things.
这个结婚是什么呢
？What is marriage？
就是上帝的道从希腊的逻辑的一个结婚。
That between God's word and Greek logic.
那个时候呢，这个工作呢，在三个宗教都产生出来。
This effect can be seen in all three religions.
Moses Maimonides 这个人呢，把这个阿里士多德同犹太教连在一起。
Moses
Maimonides
integrate or synthesized Aristotle with Judaism.
Thomas Aquinas 他把这个阿里士多德同基督教连在一起。
Thomas Aquinas synthesized Aristotle with Christianity.
另外一个叫 Averroes， 他是阿拉伯人，在巴黎大学做教授，他把这阿里士多德的思想同这个回教连在一起。
Averroes who taught in Paris synthesized Aristotle with Islam.
所以无形之中的那一个异教徒的阿里士多德已经死了。一千多年登上宝座，影响三大宗教。
So Aristotle, who didn't belong to any of these three, ascended the throne and influenced all three major religions.
而且基督教的这个最高的领导层认为认识真理要透过阿里士多德逻辑方式。
The highest leaders in Christianity thought that you must go through Aristotle in order to understand the truth.
那阿里士多德，这个 Aquinas 在这方面重要的这个书呢是 Summa Contra Gentiles。做他的副教授最重要的这个书著作。
Most important apologetical work written by Thomas Aquinas is Summa conquer Gentiles.
反异教的这个大全这本书。
The summary of against the Gentiles.
那么这个是中古的这些的精，中古的这个副教学的精髓。
This is the essence of medieval apologetics.
当然，在整个 scholasticism 的人的时代呢，不是每一个人都走这条路线。
Of course, not everybody followed this approach during the period of scholasticism.
那些比较走的奥古斯丁思想路线的人，就比较反对这方面。
Those who followed Augustine's approach would object to such an approach.
那到了改教时期的时候
，When it came to the time of the Reformation,
改教时期的本身呢？就是在教会里面要在复位原有的神圣信仰的一种用这个副教来做改教的一种复兴运动。
The Protestant Reformation itself used apologetics to have a function in terms of reforming the church.
那么改教的前后啊
，Before and after the Reformation，
这几百年里面有一个文艺复兴的运动。
For several hundred years before and after the Reformation, there was the Renaissance.
文艺复兴呢，是对希腊的向往。
Renaissance is nostalgia back to Greek culture.
而重点呢，不是希腊文化，重点是人的本能。
The emphasis was not on Greek culture itself, but rather on the potential of man.
不再以神的启示从恩典做他们认识真理的出发点。
They no longer use God's revelation of God's grace as the point of departure for man's knowledge.
乃是以人的本能，人的这个价值。从人的可能性来发展人的理性的功用。
Rather, it sought to develop man's rational powers by man's potential, man's powers, man's value.
就他们把希腊曾经达到的成就做他们一个 pattern.
So they used that which Greek culture reached as the pattern.
所以来这个推动一个新的运动。
So they promoted a new movement.
那文艺复兴运动呢？我个人把它呢。归纳起来就是从这种空间艺术发展到时间艺术的一个过程。
This Renaissance was a development from spatial art into temporal art.
所以呢，起初的是绘画这一方面，最后是音乐做结束。
It began with painting.
Painting.
And it ended with music.
所以呢，这个当起初出来的时候，绘画、雕刻。建筑这些东西有形的先出来，到最后呢以无形的做结束，因为音乐是没有形象的。
It began with things which could be seen, art, sculpture, architecture, and ended with that which cannot be seen.
那么这个文艺复兴的精神接下来以后呢
？Following the spirit of Renaissance，
就是近代哲学的大复兴。
Comes the revival which is modern philosophy.
那近代哲学呢？刚才我们听早上听到这个使徒保罗。不是使徒保罗，是啊是啊，他是使徒保罗。托斯图牧师呢提到了一些哲学家的名字。那这里我画一个地图，照着现在的分界画来画的。
I'm using the geographic divisions of nations today.
如果你地理不大好，从头学。
geography is pretty bad, start over.
我不是乱画的啊！
I know what I'm doing.
这是欧洲。
This is Europe.
欧洲是一个很奇妙的州。
Europe is a really strange continent.
最好的文化。
The best culture.
最好的绘画。
The best.
最好的建筑。
The painting and architecture.
最好的音乐。
The best music.
最好的诗。
The poetry.
在这州里面都产生出来。
Started from this.
就是最好的宗教产生不出，就是。
Yes.
这个是德国哈。就荷兰，这个是比利时，
Germany,
这个是 Luxembourg， 这个是法国、
France,
英国、
England,
爱尔兰，
Ireland,
这个不爱尔兰，
Ireland,
不爱尔兰，因为他们不爱和台湾打架嘛。
Ireland,
这西班牙，
Spain,
这葡萄牙，
Portugal,
这意大利，
Italy,
这意大利像一个鞋子，所以他们做鞋子做得不错。这巴尔干、奥地利等等。
Okay.
那么当时的这些呢，分两个大派别。
There were two major schools of thought at that time in philosophy.
第一个派别是什么呢
？The first school
就是这个大英帝国的派别。
Was the British school.
另外一个派别就是大陆的哲学。
Second school was continental thought.
刚才我们早上提过了哈。那么大陆的哲学呢，走的路线是以理性做出发点去认识真理的。
Continental thought used man's reason as the point of departure in the theory.
所以叫做 rationalism.
That's what's called rationalism.
理性主义。 在这时候，那么呢，整个英国呢，特别是苏格兰，是什么呢？就是这个大英帝国的派别。另外一个派别就是大陆的这时候。刚才我们早上提过了哈，那么到大陆的这时候呢，走的路线是以理性做出发点去认识真理的。
Continental thought used man's reason as the point of departure in the theory of life.
所以叫做 rationalism.
That's what called rationalism.
理性主义在这时候。那么呢，整个英国呢，特别是苏格兰，他们是以这个经验做出发点的。
England, or especially Scotland, used man's experience as the point of departure in the theory of life.
这叫 empiricism.
This is called empiricism.
那么重要的大师呢 ，Francis Bacon, John Locke, David Hume, Berkeley, Thomas Hobbes.等等都是在这里。
People like Francis Bacon, Locke, Berkeley, and Hume all came from Great Britain.
那么在大陆呢，重要的人呢是法国的 René Descartes， 在德国的这个 Leibniz， 还有在 Amsterdam 的那个这个叫做 Spinoza。
People important in the continent were René Descartes in France, Leibniz in Germany, and Spinoza in.
那这两个呢，这个是很重要的哲学派别。
These are two very important different schools of philosophy.
以理做出发点
，the rationalist，
以经验做出发点
，an empiricist，
在理性的出发点里面，注意的就是人的思想功能对真理的推销作用。
Rationalists concern themselves with the power of the reason as a project for the truth.
Empiricism 是认为一切的知识一定是透过感官而产生出来的。
Empiricism taught that all knowledge must come through the senses.
那这两方面的人呢，都曾经对基督教做相当不客气的攻击。
These two different kinds of schools of thought all attack Christianity ruthlessly.
我今天下午讲过一句话。
I said something this afternoon.
就是说呢，这个哲学家的神呢，不是那自我启示的神。
I said that the God of philosophers is not the same as the God who reveals himself.
那自我启示的神
，the self-revelatory God
是超理性
，is he who transcends reason.
那创造理性的神，自己既不是理性的产品
，because God who created reason is not a product of reason itself.
那么那个超过经验的神
，the God who transcends experience，
不是人的经验可以完全去经历的
，is not something which man's experience can experience fully.
所以神是超越的。是大过是理性同经验的。
God is transcendent and greater than reason and experience.
虽然我们并没有反对理性的本身的功能。
Because we do not deny the function and potential of reason.
We must be rational, but not rationalist.
我们要有理性，但是不能做理性主义者。
What he is doing cannot be done by computer, you know. 马上翻过来。好了。那么这一段时期呢，后来呢，就有许多对基督教的攻击。
So there were much attack against Christianity at this time.
我倒不知道在那个时期里面呢，对基督教做复位的工作的人到底有多少。
I don't know how many people stood up in defense of the Christian faith at that time.
但是那个时候呢，基督教是非常疲弱，非常没有办法来招架。
But Christianity was very weak and it did not know what to do at that time.
我们举一个很简单的例子。当约翰卫斯理轰轰烈烈做布道工作的时候
，When John Wesley was evangelizing, you know, in his great campaigns, in a great awakening,
那么呢，是整个英国人人皆知的一个大人物了。
He was a household word in England.
同时，有一个无名小卒在他的案头写一些攻击基督教的文章。
Somebody behind him wrote some little articles against Christianity.
就是 David Hume.
David Hume.
他要从基督教的整个传统的信仰中间的最根本的东西去挖掉基督教来去产生一个新的这种思想。
He wants to pull from under the very bottom of the Christian faith, the most basic concept of faith, and create a new kind of thing.
因为把基督教与其他宗教做一个比较的时候，基督教有一个高人一等的地方，就是基督教里面充满神迹，而其他宗教没有。
When you compare Christianity with other religions, there's something that makes Christianity appear, and that is miracles, which are not in other religions.
所以传统的复教呢，就认为神迹的存在是基督教的一个证明。基督教的这个信仰的绝对性的证明。
Traditional apologetics feel that miracles is a confirmation or proof of the superiority of Christianity.
当然了 ，David Hume 说，作为证明基督教的神迹的本身发生过没有，没有人可以证明。
And
miracle as used to be the proof of Christianity cannot be proven if it ever occurs or not. 大概是这样。 我的英文不大好啊。那么我们继续讲下去。所以这个时候呢，就在卫斯理约翰大肆布道工作的时候呢，影响千千万万人。那一个人的著作呢，生前不敢印，死后才印出来。
John Wesley was influencing thousands and thousands of people who were preaching. David Hume dare not publish his writings until after he died.
过了两百年以后
，200 years later，
约翰卫斯理的工作好像没有多大的显著，但是呢，整个英国的青年大半就被他拉去了。
You can't see the effect of John Wesley anymore, but most of Britain's youth were influenced by David Hume.
我认为呢，这个 thinker 是一件很重要的事情。所以 thinker 是很重要的人物，思想家。
The thinker is a very important kind of person.
基督教如果没有 thinker， 就变成 nothing.
So, if Christianity does not produce thinkers, then it will become nothing.
中国基督徒呢就缺乏思想家。
And the thinkers are precisely what is lacking in the Chinese.
这个是一个 stimulation 啊 ，challenge.
This is a challenge.
要你思想，神要你做什么
？Think what God wants you to do.
那我们继续思想下去。
Now let's continue.
那么这个以后呢，基督教受的这元气呢，元气受了很大很大的损伤。
So Christianity suffered a very basic, almost fatal blow.
当然呢，对这个 Protestant 的这个。历史来说呢，有一些人是非常感激康德的出现。
Within Protestant circles, some people are very grateful for the emergence of Immanuel Kant.
所以许多的人认为呢，这个康德呢是叫 the philosopher of the Protestantism.
Many people thought that Kant was the philosopher of the Protestants.
今天早上我们听这个史图牧师呢提到了关于康怎么样把这两个东西 merge 产生一个新的思想，那个叫做 philosophy of criticism。
This morning we heard how Kant sought to integrate both rationalism and empiricism and came up with the philosophy of criticism.
他的那个经验虽然是这道知识的开端，但是真理的本身，真理不是终于经验。
Experience is the beginning of knowledge, but knowledge does not end with experience.
而理性的本身有几个不同的范围。
And reason itself has several different realms.
所以他就把这个损理性、从实践理性，还有批判理性。把它做一个分别。
So he distinguished between the pure reason, practical reason, and critical reason.
那么在损理性里面呢，我像数学，像这些普通的逻辑，我可以用你的思想去把它这些弄出来。
In the realm of pure reason, for example, mathematics, you can use your logic to sort things out.
但是像良心的功用，像人生的意义，这些的东西呢，不是损理性算出来的。
But things like conscience and the meaning of life cannot.Calculated from pure reason.
那些的东西也是在我生命中间，我实实在在知道它的存在。
But these things I really know they exist in my life.
所以那些的知识呢，就不在纯理性的范围，就在呢实践理性的范围里面。
These things are not in the realm of pure reason, but in the realm of practical.
那我认为我的爱人比别人的爱人更美丽，我这个批判的知识呢，你不知道，我知道。
If I say that my love is better than yours.You don't know my critical faculties, only I do.
这个知识呢是一种判断性的知识。
This is a critical reason.
这个判断性的知识呢，不能用纯粹的理性的知识的逻辑来证明，你这个是另外一个范围。
Critical reason is something which also is not in the realm of pure reason.
所以当理性站在审判台前，把整个基督教的传统信仰抓来审判的时候
，So when reason stood on the throne and judged.The whole body of Christian truth.
康德带了一张更高的椅子，把理性抓来审判。
Kant took a higher chair to judge reason itself.
那么，当基督教受理性主义的很大的攻击的时候，有人来审判理性，很多人就很感激康德。
So when Kant used reason to critique Christianity, people were very
rationalism. Opposite. Rationalism used the reason to judge the Christianity, and Kant judged the rationalism.Some Christians, they are so happy of Kant, 是这个意思。但是呢，康德本身所做的到底是不是圣经里面的那种工作呢
？But was Kant really doing the biblical test when he criticized the rationalists for criticizing?
康德和基督教的信仰相差太远了。
There is such a great distance between Immanuel Kant and the Christian.
那个时候呢，从宗教的范围里去产生一个自然宗教，这个 deism。Natural religion 出来
That's a natural religion of deism.
所以如果你看了十八世纪末叶，从整个十九世纪，你就发现基督教实在是处处受难。
For the end of the 18th century and the beginning of the 19th century, you see that Christianity faced problems from all sides.
无论从宗教的
，from religion，
从哲学的
，from philosophy，
从文化的
，from culture，
从艺术的
，from art，
特别从自然科学
especially from a natural science.
这些都遇到很多很多的考验。
Christianity had all kinds of tests that it must face.
照这个自然力来看，二十世纪基督教应当是消灭。
According to natural law, Christianity should have been extinct by the 20th century.
但是很奇怪的。
But it's very
二十世纪的基督不但 wonderful, 粗的富，吹的富。二十世纪的正统的基督教信仰有很大的复兴。
In the 20th century, there was a great revival of Orthodox Christianity.
那么我们现在站在二十世纪哈。
So now we're at the 20th century.
我们要问神，我们的责任是什么？
We must ask God what is our responsibility.
我告诉你，真正如使徒牧师讲的，其实的长老是不长不老的长老在这里。
What we need are people like you, 70 elders, elders who don't grow old.
You are not the leaders of the church.
你不是教会的领袖。
You are leaders of the church to be, 对不对？
你们是将来的教会的领袖。
You must, to be the coming leaders of the church.
你们要祷告做将来教会的领袖。
你要 pay your price and sacrifice,
You must 付代价，好吧？
去争取作为教会的领袖
and that you may really be the leader.
我很同意使徒牧师讲的叫 best possibility to be educated in the highest places and institutions 就是你们中国人青年中间受最高教育的可能就是你们不要轻看自己
so don't look down yourself you may have the highest possibility in terms of being educated
我受的教育没有你们高
I was not educated highly as you
我告诉你我盼望比我聪明的人出来为主工作。
I am hoping that people more intelligent than I am to come out to work for the Lord.
那么这个在这一些时期中，有一些副教的人出来。
Some apologists emerged during this time.
到中国共产党兴起的时候。
By the time that the Chinese Communist Party arose,
有很少的人呢站在教会信仰的前线，用那些副教的精神来这个大辩关于这个唯物论主义的事情。
Very few people stood at the forefront of the church.Defending the Christian faith against materialism.
当时有一个人叫做吴永泉呢。
At the time, somebody called 吴永泉
写一本书叫做《信仰问题》。
He wrote a book called Problems or Questions of Faith.
我个人看呢是 The Best Chinese Apologetics.
I think it is the best book on apologetics.
那么，中国信仰上的困难是什么呢？
What is the problem of the faith among the Chinese?
就是儒教在这个孝道方面给中国人。从这个心灵的深处，从骨髓，从血液的最深处所打的根基。
It is filial piety, which is that foundation which Confucianism has built and rooted and infused in the blood of China.
这方面还是需要有一些人出来做主的工作。
We still need people to come out and work for the Lord and defend the faith.
我今天先讲到这个地方。
This is where I will stop today.
有哪一个人要问一些问题的身体？
Are there any questions you want to raise at this time?
有吗？
没有
没有问题。
你在亚洲讲这个跟今天讲的内容差不多，还是对你这里是真理打围把它分离到
你？圣经说在什么人中间做什么人吗？我在你面前怎么可以随便乱讲？我想在亚洲看情形，如果是亚洲的这个知识分子中间，我也是要这样讲。
Question is how do I speak in Asia?Answers, depending on the audience, if I was speaking to the educated in Asia, I would speak the same way.
那么对印尼呢？当然，印尼的社会和华人社会不一样，有一些适合你们的，就不一定适合他们。
Because in Indonesia, it is very different. Some things that suit you may not suit them.
我的侍奉呢，我感到主有引导，是很奇妙。
I really feel the guidance of the Lord in my life.
当我开始注意知识分子的问题的时候
，When I first become aware of the need of the intellect,
新加坡就请我去讲道。
Singapore, I got an invitation to Singapore.
我不敢自己写信，我要来讲道，你要不要？我不敢这样做。
Because then I'm very late. I'm coming to speak one year now.
我是自卑感很重的，你不相信就算了。
I have a deep interior complex, believe it or not.
那么当我这个开始思想存在主义的事情的时候，台湾请我去讲道。
When I was beginning to think about the problem of existentialism, I got an invitation to Taiwan.
那个时候正是台湾很多人正在有热议存在主义的事情。现在你去了，那些问题都不在。
Because at that time, existentialism was a fad in Taiwan. Then now, the problem doesn't exist anymore.
要一步一步逐步就这样带。
So Lord, let me step by step.
所以我感到主有在引导这个事情。
So the Lord has been.
但是我也感到自己不够，所以继续不断追求。
Because also in my natural state, I continue to learn and strive for
better. 这个以后呢？这个有一段时间提到怎么样子的基督教在正宗教中间是真正的启示，那变成一个专题，稍微提的不够，所以留以后讲。
但是呢，这就
好吗？如果我到第五天最后一天还没有讲，你再问个问题。 我现在很难告诉你这几天要讲什么，要看主怎么引导。那么一步一步的，因为有一些东西太多了，所以呢，这个一方面看你吸收力、供应同吸收之间的平衡，一方面看主的引导，那么把适当的提出来。还有什么问题？你还没有翻译。我感到我不够资格，我刚才提了，可能要你讲。不，我实在不，我是19岁半就离开中国，就到印尼去。我个人是继续保留对中国文化的接触，也受中国教育、中文的教育。那么以后呢，也在教育上、教育界里面做一些工作。那么个人常常读中文书，所以贵还讲到您还听得懂就是了。我对中国文化的研究，我是实在不够。
是啊，我希望你还讲讲在中国大陆共产党的环境里面
重要。原则性的，从圣经的观念的原则性，我可以提到一些。不过呢，是继续做的经验，我现在还没有。所以我感到这个原则性，我们可以做一些讨论。
Question was when we speak on apologetics against Islam, the answer was that depends on whether we have time, but at the end of the week, you can ask the same question again. And the question was whether or not you're going to speak on apologetics against Chinese, traditional Chinese culture and
communist interests.
Apologetics within the context of communism. The answer is that I'm not, I left China while young, and I'm, although I can still read Chinese, you can understand my Chinese, yet my expertise is in Western thought.So I will probably refrain from speaking on that.
还有什么问题？
我最后一个问题。
好。
My last question.
你要讲这个西方的这个基督教的工作了。
什么？
这个西方的 Western 有基督教的工作了。或者你应该知道这个 Paul Tillich 他是这个 apologetics 这个theologian 的，他呢很多人说他是 also for the intellectual.I think it's very fitting, in my opinion, that he should be mentioned because he is an apostle of the intellectual.
He is a great apologetic theologian. So we're going to see from Paul Tillich, who's regarded by some people as the apostle of the intellectual.
很少人会把 Tillich 归纳到 evangelical 的范围里面。
Very few people would put Paul Tillich within the realm of
但是我们要承认 intellectual 的范围里面很少人 intellectual 里面很少人轻看 Tillich 而 evangelical 的书很少读者分子注意去研究
so we must recognize that very few people despise Paul Tillich in the realm of intellectuals and there are very few evangelicals who take Tillich seriously
是不是要把 Tillich 列入伟大的 apologist 里面呢这个还需要一些讨论
it will need to be discussed whether or not Paul Tillich should be categorized under the Christian apologist
所以呢，这个以后有机会再谈。还有什么问题？刚才有一位姐妹。你讲咩嘢？讲乌啊，我唔知啊。他说什么？
共产主义在中国兴起的时候，为什么没有一些人站起来为基督教做辩护？
有啊，我刚才提到吴永泉了。
Why was there no defense of the Christian?
很少很少。
The Communist Party, communism arose in China. There were, but there were very few.
共产党会整个的统治中国是一件令人费解的事情。
It is very difficult to understand how the communists came to rule China.
这样一个封建，这样一个对自己文化这样结构严密，这样这个遵从孔子思想的国家，会落在他们手里，是很奇怪的。
It's very strange that a country which is bound by Confucianism and its filial traditions could fall prey to communist rule.
这是很奇怪的事情。但我相信中国文化在人中国生命里面的那一个影响呢，终究不可能被共产主义所过去。中国文化在人的中国人的精髓啊，在中国人的这个血液里面最深的那个部分，共产党没有办法过去。
Traditional culture and impact upon the very consciousness of Chinese people would never be extinguished by communism.
有一些人认为共产党一来是神借着他把中国的迷信什么全部破除了，为福音预备道路。我认为这个思想有一点幼稚。
Some people feel that communism has taken away all the superstitions from Chinese people and created a vacuum for the gospel to come in China. I think that's a little bit naive.
我们不能否认的那些封建统治、那些迷信的成分，在中国历史上是远比基督教更早的、更久的历史。
Feudal superstitions have a deeper root and much earlier beginning than Christianity. Evangelicals were busy going to seminary and getting prepared to become the revival evangelist in the 1930s later on.
这个香港有一个很年轻的弟兄叫温伟耀。
There's a very young Christian thinker in Hong Kong named Wen Weiyu.
写一本关于基督教与共产主义的书。
He wrote a book called Communism and Christianity.
他写的怎么样？或者你认为够不够格？同意不同意他的看法？另外一件事，就这样的青年人开始故意的专心。这个注意到这一方面的事情，应当成为我们每一个人一个挑战。
He wrote on communism and Christianity. You can judge whether it is up to par or not, but the fact that he took up such a task should be a challenging example.
我想剩下的十八分钟，请使徒牧师来讲一点共产主义这个以后呢，同基督教的关系，好不好？现在，
还有一个问题。
1981年，因为你是中国人，所以你判断中国也有启示，苏联人判断苏联也有启示，不丹人判断不丹有启示，西兰人判断那上帝启示就多少国家就多少种这样。我想这以后谈。你很爱国。
你有翻？
啊？你就直接讲英文好了。好了。长弟兄是我一个很好的朋友。
Brother Fang is a good friend of mine.
我自从认识他以后，我很喜欢他。
Since I got to know him, I got to like him very much.
他很客气，他一定要跟我多学习。
He's so happy. He wants to learn from me more.
事实上啦，我发现了他懂得很多了。
Actually, he knows very much.
他的经验也很丰富。
His rich experiences.
不，他一定要听听我了，来讲中国共产党的问题或者中国的共产主义的问题。
But he wants to listen to me talk on the Chinese communism problem.
那我现在就一方面为他讲，一方面为大家讲，也为我自己讲。
So I'm going to speak for his sake, for your sake, for my sake.
我试试看能否把我的了解了表达出来。
Let me try to express my understanding on the topic.
特别这个年轻朋友，他翻译那么好。Especially my young friend who is so good in interpreting. 我听他翻译的时候，我有个感想。
It struck me when I heard him interpret.
我说了，什么时候唐弟兄讲了，也许我试试他翻，看他翻得怎么样。
Like when Brother Tang speaks, maybe I could try interpreting so that I can do it.
也许将来再算。Maybe we try it in the future.那现在呢，我以我了解中国文化来解释了这个从马克思到毛泽东。
Let me try to explain from Marx to Mao Zedong according to my understanding of Chinese culture.
唐弟兄刚才讲了，他九岁半了就离开中国。九岁半，但大家听到了是九岁半，所以我替他更正了。
Brother Tang left China when he was 9.5 years old.
我的耳朵还不错吧？OK， 那现在呢？我十二岁离开中国。
I left China when I was 12.
22. 所以呢，我还是一个基本上是一个中国人。
So basically I'm still Chinese.
但是我的思想啊，希望是完全从圣经出来。
But my thought pattern hopefully comes from the Bible strictly.
结论就是毛泽东啊，想做孔子跟秦始皇加在一起。
My conclusion is that Mao wants to be what Xu Huangqi was and Confucius was combined.
那在中国传统的社会呢
？In Chinese traditional society,
是士农工商。
The four classes in Chinese society: the town officials, the peasants, the artisans, and the merchants.
后来呢，加了一个兵。
And then the soldiers came at the end later.
那因为在孔子思想控制了这个读书人是最重要的。
Under the control of Confucianism, intellectuals were the most important in society.
那毛泽东从马克思学了以后了，他把那个秩序稍微变了一下。
Mao learned from Confucius, but he marked and then he changed the order of the Confucians.
圣农工农兵商士
worker, peasant, soldier, businessman, and student.
那现在所谓四个现代化了，其实在这里变出来的。
So the four modern nations really developed from these.
现在是科学技术。
Now it is science and technology.
然后工业农业。
Industry, agriculture.
国防。
National defense.
这个就是四。
This is intellectual.
这个是兵。
Here's the soldier.
因为他们怕了这个资本主义，商就不敢讲了。
Because they're afraid of capitalism, so they didn't mention business or commerce.
所以假如你懂这个了，你全部毛泽东思想的了解。
If you understand all this, you understand all of Mao Zedong's thoughts.
假如你晓得孔子做什么，陈子王做什么，你也全部了解了。
If you understand what Confucius tried to do and what the first emperor tried to do, you understand the whole thing too.
那毛泽东啊，就把马克思那个异化叫做矛盾。
Mao Zedong took what Marx called alienation and he called it contradiction.
那他说了有几种不同的矛盾。
Mao says there are different kinds of contradictions.
第一个在自然的矛盾
There is natural contradiction.
在物质里面在自然界里面那个矛盾是必要的
In the material world and natural realm there are necessary contradictions.
假如没有那种矛盾了就没有存在了
If there aren't such contradictions there wouldn't be existence.
但那种矛盾了是没有害的是没有这个抗拒性没有毒的
These contradictions however, are not bad, they're not harmful, they're non-antagonistic
在历史里面呢另外有其他的矛盾
There are other kinds of contradictions in history, however
那在历史里面的矛盾又分了两种
There are two kinds of contradictions under this kind of condition
是有毒的或者抗拒性的矛盾
Poisonous or antagonistic contradictions
那个是敌我的矛盾敌人跟我的矛盾
This is a contradiction between the enemy and the self
那个是阶级斗争的矛盾
This is contradiction of the class struggle
你不把敌人打倒，敌人就把你打倒。
You don't destroy enemy, the enemy will destroy you.
这个是历史里面辩证的发展，每一个阶级把另外一个阶级推翻。
This is the dialectical development of history. Each class overthrew the last one.
最后呢，是这个工人阶级的工人领导底下了，按照马克思思想，社会主义、共产主义，把资本主义、帝国主义、殖民地主义把它打倒。
And in the final state,The workers and the leadership or dictatorship of the workers, according to Marxism and Marxism thought, according to socialism and communism, will overthrow capitalism and colonialism and imperialism.
但在那个过程，因为中国呢有一个特殊的情形。
But there was a unique situation in China.
早上我讲到了列宁了，参考马克思用到帝国那种的情形。
Lenin borrowed from Marx and tried to implement it in Russia.
他的要接种那个领袖跟这个政党那个组织的关系
He paid attention to the problem of the relationship between intellectuals and the political party
The leaders
or the leaders
那他呢俄国的工人还相当多的
There were quite a few workers in Russia
但在中国呢是农历国大部分是农民
But China is an agricultural country most of the people were peasants
所以当这个革命的过程呢虽然理论上是以工人为领导但实际上呢是工农兵商士一个联合统一战线
So although in theory it should be the workers who lead during the revolutionary process actually it was an alliance between the workers, the peasants, the soldiers, the businessmen and intellectuals
那个呢、是以农村来包围城市
The strategy is to use the village to encompass, to enfold, to surround the city
所以他就把中国传统这个呢把它转正一下达到他的目的
So he reversed the orders of the Chinese tradition in order to reach the goal
到解放以后革命成功以后了理论上把帝国主义封建主义都推翻了
So after revolution in theory feudalism and imperialism has been destroyed
那些敌人呢都没有了
The enemies were gone
剩下来了都是人民了
So what's left really all of them are the people.
那现在的问题呢到底这些人民怎么样成为人民
The problem is how can these people be, quote, the people, unquote.
那他另外呢就是说人民内部的矛盾
So Mao also wrote on the internal contradictions among the people.
那人民内部的矛盾呢是用文斗而不是武斗
So the contradictions among the people are to be dealt with not by force, but in terms of word and thought.
这就是所谓的文化的革命。
This is so to speak, the so-called cultural revolution.
但是呢，不懂基督教、不懂圣经里面呢，就不能解释这个。
If you don't understand the Bible, if you don't understand Christian truth, you cannot explain this.
这个实际上呢，就是圣经里面讲轻易和成圣的关系。
Actually, this is a comparable or a perversion of the biblical concept of justification and sanctification.
现在在基督教教会的问题呢，到底谁是重生得救的基督徒？
Christianity was a problem of who is a real born again believer.
谁是真的基督徒，谁是假的基督徒？
Who is a real Christian, who is not a real Christian?
谁是真正重生得救？
Who is really born again?
谁是真正有圣灵的果子？
Who really has the fruit of the Spirit?
所以呢，在中共呢，过去三十年就要处置这些问题，但是结果他们失败了。
The Chinese government tried to deal with these problems the past 30 years, but they failed.
因为呢，在他们的心目中是要找出来谁是真正的人民。
Because according to them, they try to find out who is the true, quote, the people, unquote.
但是谁是人民跟谁是敌人有的时候分不出来。
But sometimes who are the people, and who are the enemies, sometimes it's very hard to distinguish.
敌人可以变成朋友，朋友也可以变成敌人。
The foes, the enemies can become friends, and friends can become enemies.
因为他们接受了那个后来从马克思到列宁、来发展那种斗争的思想。
Because the Chinese Communists accepted the thought, the ideas of struggle which came from Marx and all the developed in Lenin.
因为无论是异化矛盾斗争，你怎么判断了在某一刹那，哪一种的矛盾，哪一种的斗争，哪种的异化，哪种的同化，这个不是那么简单。
Because if you have alienation, contradiction, and struggle at every given moment, how can you discern what kind of alienation, contradiction, or struggle? This is a very difficult problem.
因此，圣经的研究、神学的研究呢，直接是帮助我们了解这一切。
That's why biblical studies and theology directly and indirectly really help us understand all these things.
因为圣经的历史、教会的历史有那么长久的历史。现在呢，神学的派别、宗派种种真假也不容易解决。
Because the Bible has a long history, the church and the theology has a long history, and the problems of the denomination and other problems would be very difficult to resolve too.
所以，基督教教会里面的问题，跟共产党、共产主义的问题，在某一方面是平行相对的。
So the problems within Christianity and the problems within communism they bear a formal analogy to one another.
这个是叫变成一个、比较系统学。
This is a study in comparative system.
In English, is system analysis.
叫做系统的分析。
这个是最、新的科学的方法。假如了解这些最、新的科学的方法，能够了帮助我们了解圣经，也能够帮助我们了解其他的问题。
This is one of newer scientific methods in understanding the world.Can help our understanding of the Bible theology of these things.
那现在中共过去三十年了，就是因为、他们把这些所谓基本的矛盾、各种不同的矛盾、敌我、人民种种这些了，并不是那么样简单。
In the past 30 years, the Chinese Communists discovered that all these different contradictions are not so simple matters.
也因为毛泽东了，好高骛远、自高自大，所以呢。他把孔子跟秦始皇后为一，所以结果了什么都搞不出来。
Mao was so ambitious he wanted to combine Confucius and the first emperor, and he was so ambitious he couldn't come up with anything.
所以结果连、最亲密的战友林彪也把他弄掉，刘少奇也把他弄掉，本来邓小平也把他打下去。
That's why he got rid of his closest comrades, 林彪 and then 刘少奇 even 邓小平。
所以我们应该呢同情，应该为他们祷告。因为呢，离开了真神，离开了耶稣基督的恩典，我们发现了，是西方的资本主义或者科学的文明也在那里兜圈子，而中国的共产主义、俄国的共产主义也在那里兜圈子。
Sympathetic to them and pray for them because apart from the grace of God and apart from God's revelation, who can solve any problem? It's the same way with Western culture and Western capitalism. Same thing with Russian socialism.
总结一下，传统的中国是能工商兵，不能够解决中国的问题。
In summary, the four or five classes of Chinese traditional society, scholar, peasant, artisan, merchant, and soldier, cannot solve the problem of Chinese people.
而毛泽东笔下这个农工兵商事也不能够解决过去的问题。
Under Mao Zedong, the worker, the peasant, the soldier, the businessman, and the intellectual cannot solve the past problems either.
那现在所谓是个现代化了，也不能够解决。
And the form modernization still cannot solve the Chinese problem.
我在大陆的时候有实习期机会了，在几个最有名的大学，包括北京大学，在那里有公开讲演，就跟他们讲了现代化的问题。
I had more than 10 opportunities when I was in China recently to speak at various universities in China on the topic of the modernization.
我就求神帮助我了，很巧妙的把美国现代化的过程、美国现代化所发生的问题来轻描淡写了告诉他们这些问题。
So I try to be very skillful and explain to them the process of modernization in America.
他们听得相当有兴趣，他们发现了我还懂中国的东西。
They were very interested and they discovered that I really do understand something about China.
所以他们希望了我再有机会回去了跟他们交换意见。
So they hope that I would go back and have an exchange of ideas with them again.
作为一个基督徒的传道人，当然我也不要万里而去，就是观光谈这些。
Of course, as a Christian minister, I don't want to travel thousands of miles just to talk about these things.
我希望假如我再去了，神给我有机会从分析这个可以进一步了跟他们见证讲到耶稣基督。
I hope that if I can go again, I would explain these things to them and then progress further to witness the Lord Jesus Christ.
我谢谢堂弟送给我这个机会。
How can you witness the Lord Jesus Christ through all this?
我就跟他们讲了。
I told them.
马克思当年在伦敦住了几十年，是分析了英国当时的资本主义。
Marx spent many decades in England and in London, he tried to analyze the problems of British capitalism.
我在纽约了住了三十年，我呢在分析美国的新的资本主义。
And I lived for decades in America, New York, and tried to analyze American capitalism.
我告诉他了，我是像马克思那么样，那么样用功，那么样研究。
I said that I studied as hard as Marx.
我告诉他了，当然马克思很伟大，我很渺小。
I told him that Marx was great and I was really little.
马克思已经了有整个思想系统，我还在那里了，在努力。
Marx has a whole system of thought already. I'm still struggling and trying.
我说马克思了，研究那个结果，那个预言没有应验。
I said that Marx's the prophecies made predictions made by Marx were not realized.
我告诉他们列宁怎么革命，结果了苏联是那么可怕，因为他们恨死苏联。
I told him that Lenin tried, but then you see how come the Russian Revolution ended up in such a terrible way because they hated the Russians.
我告诉他们了，毛主席当初很天真，所以他了把苏联也不了解，美国也不了解。
I told him Chairman Mao was at first very naive. That's why he didn't understand America. He didn't understand the Russians either.
他要一边倒，倒到苏联那里去。
He wants to fall on one side on the Russians.
他把美国侵占了，说美国是纸老虎。
He dismissed Americans as paper tiger.
结果他犯了最大的毛病。
But he committed the greatest error.
他把美国变成一个主要的敌人。
He made America to be the primary enemy.
又把俄国变成一个主要的敌人。
Later on, the Russians became the major enemy.
本来叫他自己的理论。
According to his own theory,
那个统一战线呢，在同一个时候呢，只有一个主要的敌人。
At any given moment, the United Front should only have one enemy.
而把别的敌人化为朋友
neutralize other enemies to become your friends.
然后把那个主要的敌人包围，就把他打败。
And then you enclose the enemy with your friends and defeat him.
但他实行的时候了，有两个主要的敌人。
Actually, when he implemented them, there were two primary enemies.
所以结果了，他反而搞不好。
So he couldn't do anything.
到后来他把美国了不看着敌人，要跟美国做朋友的时候了，已经太晚。
When he realized the problem and tried to befriend America, it was too late.
那我再跟他们讲，在美国或者西方的历史里面呢，基督教占的地位。
I told them the place of Christianity in America and in the Western thought.
然后我告诉他们了，圣经里面所讲的上帝耶稣，实际上他们了想通过他们的方法要达到目的。
Actually, God and Jesus Christ in Western thought is really that which the communists try to accomplish or realize by their method.
我在北京住在我大学一个教授家里。
I stayed with one of my university professors when I was in Beijing this time.
几十年前呢，他是最年轻的讲师，我是他的学生。
Several decades ago, he was the youngest lecturer, I was a student.
我本来不想了跟他有联络。
At first, I didn't want to come into contact with him.
但是我祷告了，假如到北京，到底怎么办？
But then I pray, what am I going to do when I get to Peking?
那神呐，给我一个很奇妙的安排。
And God arranged, provided for me very wonderfully.
在美国有一个很有名的学姐，也是我很好的朋友，我们同一个大学毕业的。
There's a very famous scholar in America, and he was a good friend of mine who graduated from the same university.
他呢，经常到大陆去。
He goes to China often.
这个教授呢，这次托他带一个五彩电视机去。
So this professor in China asked my friend to bring a color TV to him.
但他呢，不经香港，他问我了，能不能带这个电视机给这个教授。
But he wasn't going to go through Hong Kong, so he asked me whether I could bring to the professor a color TV.
我是不太愿意。
I wasn't very willing.
因为呢，第一我没有钱了，先替他买这个电视机。买了以后呢，我也不晓得怎么处置。
First of all, I don't have the money to buy a TV, and then after I bought it, I wouldn't know what to do with it.
但是我觉得呢，也许呢，神通过他了，给我有一些特别的关系。
And maybe, but I thought maybe God would give me a opportunity to link up with Him.
所以我写封信告诉他，我要经过香港。假如他真的要我带电视机，他告诉我了，他需要怎么的电视机。
So I wrote him a letter in Hong Kong. I said that if he really wants a TV, tell me what kind of TV he wants.
他很快了，就寄到香港两封信，一连两封信。
Very quickly he wrote me a, in succession two letters.
他说了，他的确要那个电视机。
He really did want the TV.
他同时说，假如把这个电视带到北京了，可以住在他家里。
He said if the TV were brought to Beijing, I could stay at his house.
Oh, 我非常感谢主，因为在北京要 找地方住了是很难。
I thank God very much, it's very difficult to find a place to stay in Beijing.
结果呢，他是一个研究所的所长。
He was the head of a graduate or a research institute.
那他呢，在北京各方面关系都很好。
He had all kinds of good connections in Beijing too.
他到飞机场接我，把我带到他家里。
He took me to the airport and he took me to his house.
他呢，有最好住的地方。
He had the best residence.
他有四个睡房。
He had four bedrooms.
他的妻子呢，去年去世了。
His wife died last year.
所以他比较寂寞。
So he was lonely.
他的女儿女婿呢，跟他住在一起。
So his daughter and son-in-law lived with him.
他让我呢，睡一个睡房在他隔壁。
He let me use his bedroom right next to him.
他用功的很，他晚上不睡觉的。
He doesn't sleep at night.